Today, Apple has announced the iPad, a multifunction tablet computing device which resembles an oversized iPod Touch. Now, there's been much speculation about exactly what Apple would be releasing, and on the line I have technology writer Stephen Fenwick from the Daily Telegraph, who's currently in San Francisco for the launch. G'day, Steve.
G'day, Andy. How are you?
Excellent, mate. Now, what's been the initial reaction over there to the iPad?
Well, it's been fairly positive, Andy. You are right, though, in describing this product as an oversized iPod. It is that, but it does bring a few other features to the table. It features the same sort of touchscreen, multi-touch interface, but it does sort of fit in that space between the iPhone and a laptop computer.
Okay, now, of course, many were speculating that this device may simply be an e-book reader, perhaps to compete with Amazon's Kindle, which is massively popular. How do you think it's going to go as an e-book reader in that market? Because obviously that's a pretty competitive space.
Yeah, well, that's right. I think that's going to be a pretty dynamic space in 2010. And yeah, Amazon have done very well in that space. And Steve Jobs actually mentioned Amazon by name and sort of said that, well, we're going to sort of be riding on their shoulders because they've sort of created this market and we're going to capitalize on it. So there is actually an iBook application on the device so that the application, much like iTunes, is not only your music player but also the music store. iBook is also going to be your e-book reader as well as the iBook store. So users can browse the store for books and also download them directly to the device, and then enables them to read the book on screen either in landscape or portrait mode, and a simple sweep of the finger across the page across the screen will turn the page as they go.
Now, you've had a look at the e-book reader part of the iPad.
I have, yeah. It's quite a powerful application. Being able to carry all your books around, much like we do with our music, sort of having been able to carry all of your favourite books around with you is a pretty powerful feature. As the Amazon Kindle has demonstrated, it's quite a popular device in the US and also available to Australian customers. But no, I think not only the e-book reader, but the New York Times was on stage demonstrating an application that would just sort of give their own newspaper a bit of an added dimension. Is of particular interest to me, being a newspaper writer. Their application allowed sort of combine the print version of the paper with the digital version of the paper. So the look and feel was very much like the print version, but was more interactive. So I think that's probably a powerful feature for big media companies going forward.
And something that certainly the Kindle doesn't do, right?
Absolutely. Well, you can download newspapers and books, of course, to the Kindle, but that kind of interaction where you can, scroll with your finger and touch pictures that then turn into a video, as was demonstrated by the New York Times, is something that only the iPad can do at this point.
Okay, well, what kind of market do you think that Apple are chasing with this device with so many different features? I mean, we have iPhones out there. Some of us just have iPod Touches. So, we have somewhere to listen to our music and check out our photos and everything. So where do you think this one's going to go?
Yeah, no, that's a tricky question. I think Steve Jobs made it quite clear that they weren't going to offer a product just for the sake of it, sort of that space between the iPhone and a laptop computer, their MacBook computers. He said that they specifically wanted to offer something that would offer the user an enhanced experience, whether it comes to browsing the web, looking at photos, viewing movies, reading e-books. And I think they've delivered for that, but it sort of fits into sort of the netbook space, which has been quite popular in Australia and around the world. But Steve Jobs actually mentioned that the netbooks don't really do anything more different. They just do the same thing, but just cheaper and in a smaller format. So if anyone's sort of looking to fill that middle space, they sort of feel that the iPhone or iPod touchscreen is too small to watch their films or use it for email, and the MacBook or laptop's too heavy, then this can easily fit in the middle. And with the touchscreen interface, it's much easier to use and takes up a lot less space than a laptop.
Okay, let's just finish up a quick chat about the pricing here. Now, of course, they're looking at releasing the iPad in around 60 days, late March, starting at $499 US. How do you feel about the pricing?
Yeah, that's right. Well, luckily, our dollar's pretty strong against the US, against greenback. So I anticipate our entry-level price will be probably in the 500, mid-500s, maybe high-500s, depending on how they decide to price it. But there is also a 3G version that is also a little bit more expensive, which will have a 3G-enabled connection. So users can choose data plans to run with as well. You can't make phone calls on the 3G version, but you can actually connect to the web and do some browsing out and about away from a Wi-Fi network. So that's also going to be added to the price also. But Now, it does contain a solid-state drive. I think the entry-level price is for the 16-gigabyte solid-state. Then it goes up to 32 and 64-gig. There is a significant increase in price for that 3G capability, but I think it's a good idea that Apple have given the users the choice of whether they needed a 3G connection on board or not.
Brilliant. All right, well, Steve, thanks for giving us the update on the iPad. We'll speak to you soon.
No problem. Thank you.
That's Stephen Fenwick, the technology writer for The Daily Telegraph.